Virginia. He was 89 years old. Funerals are being held today in Pittsburgh for the first victims in the synagogue shooting that took place on Saturday. President Trump and the First Lady are en route to Pittsburgh to express support from the American people, and the Tree of Life rabbi said the president is certainly welcome there. You're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
A Jewish leader says anti-Semitic crimes in America have been on the rise over the past several years. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
Shari Shvi of the Anti-Defamation League says last weekend's deadly mass shooting at a synagogue in Pittsburgh is just the latest in a growing number of anti-Semitic incidents across the nation. Shvi says the ADL's figures indicate such incidents increased in America by 34% in 2016 and by another 57% last year, when the ADL says there were at least 2,000 anti-Semitic cases reported across the country, though they say many cases go unreported. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The Food and Drug Administration is revamping its definition of healthy to reflect our changing understanding of nutrition science, and Apple unveiled its new lineup of Macs and iPads, including an upgraded MacBook Air, Mac Mini, and larger iPad. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire short list of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
The Pentagon announced they are sending over 5,000 troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. The troops will be helping to build fencing, assist Border Patrol agents in hotspots, and provide support as the government braces for the migrant caravan heading towards the United States. President Trump joined Laura Ingraham on Fox News Monday and had a message for that migrant caravan.
When you look at that caravan and you look of largely very, you know, big percentage of men, young, strong, A lot of bad people in there, people that are in gangs. We don't want them in this country. If they want to come into the country, you have to apply like other people. We have millions of people coming in. They're applying. They're coming in legally. We have a very strong border. I called up the military. This caravan is not. They're wasting their time.
Ingraham then asked the president how this time sending troops to the border would help when under previous presidents it has not.
I'm sending up the military. This is the military. And they're standing there. And one thing that will happen.
No lethal force.
When they're captured, we don't let them out. What has been happening, and we're not as of pretty recently, we're not letting them out. What happens is they would catch and release. So if they want to come over, but we're not even doing that. We're not letting them into this country.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1974 when a 32-year-old Muhammad Ali became the heavyweight champion of the world for the second time, knocking out 25-year-old champ George Foreman in what many dubbed as the Rumble in the Jungle. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch the past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Teachable Moments of Business here on the 100 radio station. It's a podcast. It's a live broadcast on Facebook. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. We're here every Tuesday, or almost every Tuesday afternoon, from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you had a chance to check in during the last 2 weeks, the last two Tuesdays, you may have found that we did a rerun because, or they call this a rewind, because I wasn't here. I was in actually Croatia in Europe, and some of my friends don't know where Croatia is. They do now. But I wanted to share with you the fact that I was on a wonderful cruise, and if any of my shipmates have joined this program, or they even if they listen in for a few minutes, they'll have a chance to see me at the radio microphone. But this program, this cruise I was on, was incredible. I was on a cabin cruiser, sort of an enlarged cabin cruiser. There were 15 staterooms, or a capacity for 30 passengers. On my ship, there were only 28 passengers, plus the crew of about 8, plus the tour leader, Natasha, who was Croatian, or who is Croatian. And we toured the Dalmatian coast and got off the boat at quite a number of islands, as well as on some of the mainland towns, fishing towns that border the Dalmatian coast. We went through Slovenia, and then over to Venice. In fact, it's been raining in Venice, and we missed floods in St. Mark's Square and in Venice by a whole, by 5 days. But if you ever want to go on an interesting tour, check it out. And we were on a boat called the Adriatic Queen, which is just top-notch, and it was quite a tour. It was on my bucket list, and I have to say it was strenuous. There was a lot of walking, a lot of climbing of steps, a lot of hiking, but it was a really a worthwhile tour. So if you ever want an interesting place to visit, you can contact me. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. My business is Russmore Mentoring Group. I'm based in Califon, New Jersey. And you're more than welcome to give me a call, and I'll give you some tips about Croatia. But my phone number is 908-832-9544. So that's 908-832-9544. So it was quite a trip. And if Natasha's listening, Raj, if he's listening, his wife, Bivana, oh gosh, we had so many wonderful people on the tour. I can't even think of all their names real quickly right now because I'm concentrating on my program for today, which is a trade show and expo marketing. Now, I've done a program like this in the past, but the reason I'm doing the program today is because here at the Hunterdon Chamber, we have our annual business expo coming up next week. It's on November 8th, and it will be held for the next level exercise and activity center here in Flemington, and it will be held from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. It's just a one-day event, but if you're in the area, please go. It's a great event. There are many exhibitors that show products and services to businesses as well as individuals, and starting at about 5 o'clock, some of the great restaurants here in the Flemington area offer samplings of their menu, and you can have dinner there. It's really, really nice and a great event. So that's November 8th from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 7 p.m., and it's really worth going down to see that event and to participating in all the activities there. But I'm doing this program because it's so important for people who in business who want to really maximize their investment in trade show marketing. Many, many people do not prepare for events. They sign up for a booth space and they show up. And you just can't approach it that way. You have to be prepared for the event. If you were working a big trade show, let's say it's national or it could be international, you would prepare for as much as 6 to 9 months, even 12 months ahead of time before the show, because I do believe there are things you need to do before, during, and after an event in order to make it worth your while, in order to reap the rewards or getting the return on your investment, your ROI. Now, for the expo, I think planning perhaps 3 months ahead is adequate, as long as you have a sense of some of the things we're going to talk about today. But you just don't show up, because people who just show up will typically say to me, oh, the show wasn't that good, or they'll blame it on the management of the event, when in fact it's the show's management to bring people into the event. but it's your job as an exhibitor to bring people to your booth. So the question becomes then, what do you do to get people to come to your booth? Keep in mind, there are so many displays in a show, in any show, that people that walk through the front door may not find you. So you can't assume that they are going to find you. One time I talked to a couple that I knew pretty well at a show. They were walking the aisle while somebody else was working in the booth. And I said to them, how's the show going? And they said, well, okay. And I said, well, what do you mean by okay? And the comment was, well, our customers knew we were going to be at this event. And I said to them, well, did you invite them? And they looked at me like cross-eyed. The answer is no, they did not invite them. That's the key to building attraction to your booth. You have to let people know that you're going to be there, and you should invite them. And what I always recommend, based on statistics, is that you need to invite people to your booth at least 3 times. So that would be 8 weeks, 4 weeks, and 1 to 2 weeks before the event. And give them a reason to come to your display. Give them a reason to want to knock on your door. If you don't give them a reason to stop by to visit with you, don't expect that they will do that on their own volition. So again, pre-plan your whole event. And I do talk in terms of what you do before, during, and after an event. Very important. In fact, here at the Chamber for the last couple years, I've been conducting classes for exhibitors. And I did one on last week on Friday, I think it was. And we had about 17 people come to the event that I talked about, that where I spoke on trade show and expo marketing. And the feedback was really good because I combined not only details about the show and where to choose a booth and how to design it. We also talk about selling skills. And what's interesting to me is that any business owner has to know and has to be trained in selling skills, but so few of them have taken sales courses. I teach a sales course at Raritan Valley Community College on behalf of the Small Business Development Center. And it's amazing to me when I meet people who either I'm counseling or they're in my classes will say, well, I own a business, but I really don't like to sell. Well, if you don't sell, you're not going to put food on the table. So, and the other thing that goes hand in hand with selling is marketing. So really, marketing comes before selling. As J. Conrad Levinson has said, he's the father of guerrilla marketing, and I'm a guerrilla marketing coach. He says if you think in terms of sales and marketing, what else are you doing wrong? Because marketing comes before selling. So marketing builds awareness. It gives people reasons to do business with you. It builds trust. And it also validates the buying decision. So for that reason, you never stop marketing either. So marketing comes before selling. But what's interesting, and this was validated by people in my class last week, is that everyone in every business, I don't care what their job is, it could be answering the telephone, it could be the accountant, the person in the accounting office, it could be in the warehouse, it could be a driver, it could be the person standing behind the customer service desk. All of those people need to be trained in marketing as well as selling skills. We all have to wear those two hats today. And in fact, if you're going to hire a new employee, you might find out what they know about marketing and selling, because if they're not trained, you're going to have to train them. And one way to get trained is to send people to Raritan Valley Community College. And if you're a member of our chamber, the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, you can attend these classes. Well, anybody can attend these classes. You'd have to contact the office here. But the point is, you need to know how to even work a trade show. People make a lot of mistakes, and they put money into it. A business expo is not that expensive. A trade show, a regional or national trade show, could take you well into thousands and thousands of dollars. So, but here at this event, it's not that expensive, and it's a good training ground, you could say. But you need to know what to do and how to prepare for an event before it actually starts. So this is a one-day event, and it's on November 8th, and I really encourage you to come to it. So before I continue, we're going to have some words from one of our sponsors. I'm going to take a look at the weather, and then we'll talk some more about what to do before, during, and after a trade show or business expo.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon on Teachable Moments in Business. So let's take a look at the weather. Right now it's really nice outside. So we're looking at about 58 degrees, sunny, and the weather will certainly continue to be pretty nice tomorrow. So, but let's go looking at tonight, slight winds and a low of 36 degrees this evening. Today is about 58 degrees. And then tomorrow we're looking at partly cloudy skies with a high near 66 degrees. And then Wednesday night, a few clouds with a low of 52. So it's still a manageable weather pattern. Now on Thursday, we're looking at intervals of clouds and sunshine with a high of about 70 degrees. Winds are light and variable. And Thursday night, we're looking at rain on Thursday night in the evening that will evolve with a low of about 59 degrees. And we're looking at maybe a quarter of an inch of rain, so that's not a whole lot. So when we come back for another weather report, we'll take a look at the extended weather forecast. So as I said, going to business expos can be very important to your business, and I would consider that participating in a business expo or a trade show in your respective industries is just part of your integrated marketing program. There is no magic bullet when it comes to marketing. I think you have to consider surrounding your target with an awareness of your business and use different tools that are available to you. So that would include trade shows. It could be sending out newsletters to your target audience. It could be press releases. It could be promoting your website on the internet. It would be also getting some postings on social media. So running a contest, being a speaker at an event, being on the radio, getting interviewed. And by the way, if anybody would like to be interviewed on this program, you're more than welcome to come here so that we can share information that would be of value to the folks who come in and listen to this program. But I have in front of me some of the material that I used in the class, and I'm not sure how far I'll get into all of this, but let's take a shot at this to see what I can touch on. First of all, it's very important to have your goals determined before you go to any event, before you do any marketing. What are your goals? Now, in the case of a business expo like this, it might be that you want to introduce a new product or service. You might want to connect with people that you've already served. Maybe there are some prospects that you want to build a strong rapport with. Perhaps your goal is to get 10 appointments. So a goal can be wide-ranging. It doesn't have to be getting the order per se. And in fact, at the business expo, I don't know how many orders are actually written. It's more of an information thing at this event. However, 2 years ago, there was a gentleman in the expo. He had a booth, and he was under the impression that he couldn't sell anything here, and it was a food condiment product. I don't know that there's any rules against it. I recommended that he sell it because it would have helped to pay for his booth, and in fact, he didn't have enough distribution in order to tell people where they could buy his product, so at least he could get them hooked on it by selling them something at this event, and he didn't do it. So that's a word for the wise. If you have something that's tangible to sell and you have a chance to write an order for it, go for it. You also have to know exactly who your target audience is. Who do you want to do business with? It's amazing to me how many people are not clear on exactly who their target audience is. And they may say that I can sell to this kind of audience or that type of audience. That's okay. But when it comes to marketing and spending the time going in the right direction with your marketing outreach, I recommend that you reach out to no more than three or four target audiences, because beyond three or four, you can run yourself ragged. There'll be so many things you need to do in terms of putting together a marketing strategy that it can be a burden. So know exactly who your target audience is. So you're going to look for those target type people on the show floor. And according to statistics, you may be able to assume that there was only about 16% of the people walking the show floor who could be targets, who would fall in your target audience. So for that reason, you don't want to get hung up talking to people and spending too much time with certain ones that will just not be appropriate for the kind of product or services that you offer or what they might be needing. You also, as I said, you need to invite them before the show three times, 8 weeks, 4 weeks, and 1 to 2 weeks ahead of time. So build a customer list. You're only there for a handful of hours. So there's no sense in inviting the world to your booth. Invite people that you know that are important to your business that you want to reach out to. Or perhaps send messages through. If you don't know, if you can't name your target, can you send invitations to people that know people? And they ask that those people, it could be an organization or a club, ask those people to circulate the fact that you're going to be at the event. So also consider what the audience knows about you already. In some cases, they may know nothing. So for that reason, you have to be sure that you design the booth with the target audience in mind that's educational, so people can begin to learn what your business is all about. There also has to be a message that you use to grab attention. And I believe that that message has to begin with an acknowledgement of the concerns that the person has that you may be speaking to. So for that reason, it's important to ask questions first so that you find out what's important to those people and then echo those concerns and then to go on to say what you can do to help them out. And chances are, if you have a well-defined target markets, maybe no more than three or four, then you'll automatically know what to say to those people who are in the certain target categories or the vertical categories. Also, so that then boils down to the value. People don't buy what you do; they buy what they get. So if you explain what the company does, what your features, you have to be sure to share with them what the benefits are. And I do recommend that you use two important words to connect the feature with the benefit. So you would state the feature. Let's say that you were selling a copier, for example. You would say, this machine runs really fast. You would say, which means, those are the two critical words. This machine runs very fast, which means you will have much better productivity in your office. That's the benefit. So people are not buying the fast machine, they're buying the productivity. So keep that in mind. A feature without a benefit has no value. So that has to be part of that message that you're sharing with someone that you're speaking to at the show. So give them a reason to come to the booth. As I said before, when you're inviting people, it's a matter of giving them what's called a call to action. What are they going to gain by coming to that booth? Could it be a free sample? Could it be the opportunity to enter a contest? Could it be an opportunity to pick up literature? Or could it be an opportunity to find out about something that's brand new that will be of value to them? But give people a reason to want to come to the booth. Otherwise, they're not going to. Another thing you want to do is consider the layout of the booth and the traffic flow. Now, that might be hard at the Business Expo, but keep in mind when people enter a show floor, they're kind of overwhelmed by all the glitz and all of the bells and whistles that are going on, and they frequently turn to the right. If that's true, then you want to know where to look for people who are coming in, and also you need to consider the booth arrangement that's appropriate for that traffic flow. You can't always do that, but that's something to think about. Also, what about having people in the booth that can talk to people? If you're a single owner and you're the only one in the booth, then the burden of talking to everybody is on your shoulders. If you bring somebody with you, you need to train them on what to say to people. And I've been amazed over the years at how few people are trained, even though the owner spends money getting them to the show, but yet they don't train them on what to say. So there may be business opportunities that pass by, and the exhibitor just misses the boat on those. So being prepared with training, knowing where the literature is retained, so in case you run out of literature, you know where it's going to be put. And then finally, it's important to be able to measure the results. So take notes so that at the end of the show, you can look through your notes and decide whether the people that you met at this event were beneficial for your business. Has information come become aware to you that you can use to further the relationship with people? Was another one, teach, learn selling skills, because when you're in a booth, you're selling, and you have to know what to say. It's amazing to me, that's another amazement, how people will, let's say somebody comes to the booth, and they'll say to the booth manager, if I'm interested, I'll let you know. Well, it's important to whoever is working in the booth to solidify the next step. If you let somebody walk out of that booth that you, who you'd really like to do business with, nothing's going to happen unless you make arrangements for that next step. There has to be an agreement. And in fact, a good idea is even to have appointment cards, like the kind of cards you get when you go to a doctor's office. Have appointment cards that you can write the name, the date and the time that you'll be back in touch with them. This way you're leaving with information. And by the way, I always give out I may have it here. I always give out a list of all of the supplies that you need to have at a show to have handy with you. This is what it looks like. It's called trade show supplies. It's like a toolbox. And one thing you need to have in here is a stapler. So staple the appointment card onto your literature, onto another business card perhaps, and let them leave with something, with the understanding that you're going to be proactive in getting back in touch with the individual. Very important. And if you don't do that, so all these things, I think you would agree with me that it would be a waste. So the question again is why should you be going to a show? And I did touch on a few things, but let me, this is in terms of your goals, but let me read a few things that I have on my list, which is another handout that I give out to people, 40 reasons. And by the way, if you ever want copies of these handouts, let me know, and I'll send these to you. You just need to call me, or you can send me an email. My email address is V, as in Vicky, vmorgan, M-O-R-G-A-N, at russmore, russmore.com. vmorgan@russmore.com. That stands for Russmore Mentoring Group. And I will send you a document like this, 40 reasons to go to trade shows and business expos. But let's take a look at these before my next break. So you may decide that you want to accelerate your product sales into new marketplaces. Perhaps you want to have more leads that you can use, gain more leads so that you have something to do after the show in terms of follow-up. You want to attract, maybe you're looking for people to help you sell. Maybe you'll find some sales reps along the way. You want to also augment or strengthen your distribution chain. Perhaps demonstrate features and benefits of products and services that you offer. And in fact, if you have something that's tangible, make sure that you put it into the hands of the person to whom you're speaking so they can touch and feel. It's amazing to me. It's another amazement. Amazing to me how many people will put out their products on the table, but they don't let somebody touch and feel it. So get people involved. Their retention of that information will be greatly enhanced when they have a chance to touch and feel what it is that you're promoting. You may want to give out samples and other reminders of the products. But if you give out a sample, make sure you explain the product before you just randomly hand stuff out, which also leads me to this. There's an acronym called SWAG, stuff we all get. People give away pens and pencils and notebooks and heaven knows what they give out at shows. But a lot of times people who are at, especially at a business expo, they grab stuff off of tables to give to their kids when they go home because they feel guilty they're not home with their children and instead they're at this event. But you have to decide if the money that you spend on a giveaway or a swag item, stuff we all get, is going to be beneficial to your business. What do you personally keep? I can tell you one thing I keep. I keep emery boards. So you can buy emery boards and with emblazoned with your company name. I'll keep it because I always have a nail that's getting rough or breaking, and I put it in my handbag or I keep it on my desk at the office. So that's something to think about. Let's see, you might be enhanced. Another reason to go to shows would be to build relationships with people that you've already met. So, again, invite them to your booth so that you can get to know them better. And maybe you have some new products or services or new ideas that will help them, and you can share that information with them on the show floor. So let's see. Those are just some of the things that you need to do. And the list can go on and on. In fact, I have on this list 40 reasons to go to shows. So again, I can send this out to you if you'd like to take a look at it. So before we continue, I'm going to go on to messages from some of our sponsors. So I'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9800. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
USA Radio News.
Now, how ridiculous, we're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it has to end.
President Trump, in an exclusive interview with the political website Axios, the president talking about signing an executive order to end birthright citizenship. Boston gangster Whitey Bulger died in federal custody nearly 5 years after being sentenced to spend the rest of his life in prison. Officials with the Federal Bureau of Prisons say he died Tuesday in West Virginia. He was 89 years old. Funerals are being held today in Pittsburgh for the first victims in the synagogue shooting that took place on Saturday. President Trump and the First Lady are en route to Pittsburgh to express support from the American people, and the Tree of Life rabbi said the president is certainly welcome there. You're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13, the laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there, I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. This program is held every Tuesday, and if I'm not here, hopefully we get a rewind on some of my other programs. But if you'd like to be interviewed or if you have topics that you would like us to discuss, I hope that you'll get in touch with me. And I did give my phone number before, but it's 908-832-9544. Now, when it comes to any kind of marketing that you do or any kind of selling you do, there are some guidelines that I think begin the process to help you be more successful or as successful as possible. So it's a matter of knowing your industry inside and out, because people are going to ask you questions, and if you can't answer them, you're going to lose that your audience pretty quickly. So know your industry inside and out. Engage in trade associations and read publications. Really, really immerse yourself in your industry. Also know your competition, because we all have competition. And if you don't understand them, you could discover suddenly that somebody's trying to steer your customers. So know your competition, what they can and cannot do. And I think it's very important to be good at what they can't do. Also, know your target market, which I mentioned earlier. Know yourself in terms of what you can and cannot do, and where do you need to gain some additional strength. You know, we're all lifelong learners, so go to Raritan Valley Community College's SBDC, Small Business Development Center. Take courses and talk with a counselor, and I can guarantee you, you're going to learn from those experiences information that will help you to be even more successful than you are today. And then know how to meet the needs of the marketplace by having the right statements, by reaching out in a proper channels of information to get to the target that you want to serve. So those are a couple of tips for you. When I teach a class in trade show marketing, I actually show a PowerPoint presentation that has about 80 slides in it. So I have in front of me some of the slides that I use in that program. And in fact, on Friday, we are going to be doing a virtual program at the college where you can actually sign in through your computer from your office and actually see my PowerPoint presentation. So if you have a chance to do that, it would be a matter of calling Raritan Valley and speaking to Allison, who is our administrator. And so if you have a pencil handy, the phone number that you would call there is 908-526-1200. Oh, goodness, I forget the phone number. All of a sudden, 81, just call the college, 908-526-1200, and ask to speak to Allison at the SBDC. All of a sudden, I drew a blank. Anyway, let's talk about booth design. You have choose a booth that's going to be in a place that you believe is comfortable for you. I don't believe there's a bad place for a booth, except if you're at a dead end and nobody else is on that whole aisle. But design it for the target market. Make sure there's a message. It's amazing how many booths I go into, and I can't figure out what the company actually does. This is hard to believe. But I'll go in and I'll say, what do you do? Because they don't really explain it. They say, oh, the greatest thing since sliced bread, but they don't explain what it is that they do. So make sure that the booth is representative of your company. Also, make sure that the tables and the chairs are arranged in a way that's inviting. And by the way, you should not close off any more than 30% of the linear front of your booth. So if you have, let's say you have an 8x10 booth, it's 10 feet across the front and 8 or 10 feet deep, then you wouldn't want to cut off any more than about 3 feet with maybe a 3-foot table if you want to do that. But I've seen people have tables that span the whole linear footage in the front, and they can't get out of their booth if they see someone walk by that they want to talk to. You want people to come into your booth. You don't need them just walking by. You want to engage them in conversation. Also, I've heard it said that if you have low chairs and invite someone to sit, they'd be less likely to want to sit in a low chair. So maybe having higher stools surrounding us, say a bar height table, for example. So that's something to think about. If you have literature, make sure that it's readily available and that it looks nice, not laying all over the table like I have here. I would put it in rack holders to have the literature standing up on the table. Now, when it comes to the display itself, having what's called a billboard display, a big display on that table is important because it'll draw attention. If you have little itty-bitty pieces of lit paper just laying on the table, people aren't even going to be able to figure out what to do. So that in itself is going to be a problem. Lighting is good if you can get it for the booth. Now, when it and I'm just hitting on a couple of the things that I talk about in that class. When it comes to your marketing, make sure you use all your social media. So perhaps you have a blog. Maybe you want to have a YouTube video to invite people to your booth, and you can let them know that you have a video by sending them an email. You can use Facebook. You can use LinkedIn. A good idea to try doing, and I don't know of anybody that's done it, but I don't know why not, is using Evite, which is an online free service where you send an invitation to come to your booth. So look up Evite. That might be something that you can use. Now, during the show, the booth has to look terrific. It has to be clean and neat, no messy papers around. Don't eat in your booth. Now, I realize that food is being served starting at about 5 o'clock, and you're going to be tempted to eat. The problem when you're eating at booth is that when people are walking by and they see you're eating, they'll say, oh, I don't want to interrupt your meal. I'll come back. Well, the truth is they don't come back. So you have to decide how important it is to maximize your time at the show. If you can take somebody with you and you each take turns eating outside of the booth, that might be a better idea for you. So think about it. As far as sitting is concerned, I don't believe in sitting in a booth. You'd be amazed at how many people, that's another one, people sit behind a low, wide table, and they can't get up close and personal with someone who's walking by. It's just not possible. So don't sit in the booth. If you have food, or let's say you have a drink, you have coffee or a Coke or something, put it behind a sign that's on the table so it's hidden, because you want to eliminate the clutter. You want to make it look really neat. And also, if you do take somebody to the show with you, please don't stand there and talk with that individual. Pay attention to the people walking by. I know business owners who have lost probably millions of dollars. I know one that lost a $1 million order because they were too busy talking with one another instead of paying attention to who was walking by. So very important. No playing with cell phones or computers. Really pay attention to the people that are at the show, because that's what you're there. It's a, you know, it's a very short period of time that you have to engage people during that show and to get some leads. So please have this all pre-planned so that you you can maximize that time. Let's see. What else do I want to share with you? Pull people into the booth. Be engaging. Speak first. Shake hands. Have a good eye contact. Here's one for you. Have a list of questions that you're going to ask when people walk into the booth. It's amazing how many people ask closed-ended questions when they should be asking open-ended questions. So I have a question for you. Do you know the difference between an open-ended and a closed-ended question? Now, that's a closed-ended question, because your answer is going to be either yes or no. But if I say to you, please state an open-ended question. That's an open-ended question to you, to state an open-ended question. So, for example, an open-ended question might be, how long have you been in business? How many people do you have on your staff? What are some of the concerns that you have about your business? So a closed-ended question might be, do you like this? Have you ever been to this show before? It's very short. It's a yes-no response. You have to be careful. Maybe if it's a no answer, that could be the end of the discussion. So I think sometimes those kinds of questions can be intimidating. So if you ask somebody if they're familiar with something and they're not really, but they don't want to be embarrassed themselves, they'll say, well, yeah, I kind of know about it. You in a situation like that, you might say, well, some people are familiar with our program, some are not, but I'd like to share a little bit about that program with you. So that doesn't even involve a question. Or that you could say, is that okay with you? So that's where you might bring in a closed-ended question if you feel better about that. So anyway, these are some of the do's and don'ts for an event. and that that will give you, that will reap rewards for you that you wouldn't have otherwise. I'm going to go back to another couple of our messages from our I didn't get to the weather. That's okay. It's a nice day out, and it's going to rain on Thursday. Okay. Here's a message from some of our sponsors.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to Vicki Lynn Morgan. That's me. I own Rustmore Mentoring Group, which is a division of Califon Connection, LLC. I also own Animal Brands, which is an agency that provides consulting and speaking and training programs in the for pet professionals in the pet industry. I've been in the pet industry since 1976, and if you know anybody that wants to launch a pet product, you need to have them talk to somebody who's been in the industry, who's been there and done it, because consultants that have never been in the industry really have trouble recognizing the needs of people that are in that industry, and they really just can't relate. So that's another thought. And then we also have a division called Rustmore Marine, and we sell floating docks to people who have waterfront property. So you may not be putting in you may be considering a new dock for next year, but if you take a look at your wooden dock and it looks like it's failing and it's getting pretty crummy looking, it's time to install a connected dock, which is a plastic floating hollow dock that's often they can stay in the water year-round. So anyway, that's something else that we do. So I guess you could say we're serial entrepreneurs. But everything we talk about in terms of marketing and selling apply to any business that you might be in. It makes little difference. You could be selling selling intangibles, being in the insurance business, for example, or you could be an accountant. Everything we talk about applies to any kind of business that you might be in. There's a couple more things here that I have wanted to touch on. I think it's important that you want people to retain what it is that they've heard from you, that they've learned from you. So if there's a verbal exchange, they may only have a 10% recall, which can diminish over probably a short period of time. If they can see something and then hear something, there's a 15% retention and recall. If there's an interaction with demonstrations and hands-on demos. Now, let's say I'll give you an example of a hands-on demo for a service company. I know of a CPA firm that did a business expo, much like what we're doing here with the Hunterdon Chamber. And so the question is, how do you do hands-on demos for a CPA firm? Well, what they did was they got one of those little Red Flyer wagons, they filled it with jelly beans, and then there was a sign that said, beat the bean counter. And they had forms that people could fill out. So they would stand there and sort of mentally count the number of jelly beans in the wagon, and whoever came closest would win all the jelly beans in the wagon. But that was a way to get people engaged, so think about that. Now, if somebody comes into the booth and they talk with you, they see there's some hands-on demos, and then they're coming in with a friend, ask them to share that information with their friend, because when they have repeating what they just heard, and they repeat it and give it to another individual, that retention will probably shoot up to 85%. So you want people to remember who you are. I guarantee you that because there's a lot of mediocrity in business today, anybody in your business category who is not aware of some of the things we're talking about will not be as successful as you will be. I guarantee you that. So let's see. What else did I want to share with you? I'm coming down almost to the wire. What time is it? Okay, so we have a few more minutes here. I wanted to just go back over things that you want to do to create a brand presence on the show floor. So it's kind of a summation of some of the things we've talked about. Make sure your booth looks different. Your business has to be differentiated from the competitive businesses. But you also have to make the booth look different to make it engaging. Don't look like everybody else. In fact, at a show that I went to about 3 weeks ago, I talked to a young lady who had a booth opposite mine, and hers was sort of nondescript. It was sort of a blah-looking display, and I suggested to her that she stand either alongside her table or in front of it rather than put the table out to the aisle. But she felt intimidated by the thought of doing that, particularly since her neighboring exhibitors were doing exactly the same thing. They had their tables right at the edge of the walkway, and they're all standing behind it, so she didn't do it. It would have been so much better because she would have differentiated her presence on the show floor. As I said, understand your target audience. Who do you want to do business with? And have statistics, have information, have a way of asking questions of those people, because you're going to know a lot of the answers because you've studied that target, for sure. Make a memorable impression, especially the younger generations today. They buy the experience that you offer them. That's what turns them on. It's the millennials, and we're also now going to be doing business with the iGen population, which are the folks who are in high school and they're in college now. They're the ones that they're going to be looking for an experience. So make it a memorable impression by having, I don't know, you have to figure out what it is, but it just don't stand there and be dull. So stand out from the crowd, differentiate your business from the crowd, and also make sure that you reach out to people using your social media, using the technology that's available to us today. You can't do that too much, and don't forget, you have to re-invite people at least 3 times before the event. Let's see, when you get leads, make notes, something that I give out to people. Let's see if I can find it. This is something that you can ask me for as well. This is a form that you can copy if you want to. This is a show lead or prospect survey form. Can you see this? Or make a form of your own. But just putting notes on the back of a business card is really not a good idea. Have a form that fills out that you can fill out the person's name, address, phone number, some pertinent questions that are get answered and written down, so that when you contact them again, you'll be able to you'll have at your fingertips all the information that you need to have in order to have a worthwhile conversation with them. Follow up on leads very quickly, because I guarantee you that leads will cool down very, very fast. There has to be a system. So decide before the show, how are you going to follow up on a lead? Oh, and if you have one of those fish bowls where you ask people to put their names in the fish bowl, is that something you even want to do? Should that fish bowl contain just the names of everybody and his brother who are walking through the show? Or do you want to use the fish bowl as a as an attraction for people after they've shared information with you? So you can say to somebody, well, we're having a special prize drawing. You've spent time with me here today. I'd like to have your name in that fishbowl, and you may win the drawing. But if depending on what you want to do with all those names, you have to be prepared to do something with them. Otherwise, why bother? So let's see. As I said, I have a note here. It says, nurture your trade show leads. You can't you can't be quick enough and follow up. And if you've agreed to meet with somebody at a certain time, then make sure you follow up, because it'll be a negative you know, opinion of someone that you promised to reach out to, but you didn't do it. So that's another thought for you. So I'm kind of coming to the end of this at this point. There's a lot more. I have a self-assessment questionnaire. I have a way to measure results from a trade show. You could ask me for this information as well. So I have all kinds of stuff that you can contact me to request. So again, I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, Russmore Mentoring Group, and my phone number is 908-832-9544, or you can send me an email to vmorgan@russmore.com. And if you would like to be on this program and are willing to share some interesting information, questions I ask are, you know, do you have a business plan? How do you get customers? What's the nature of your customer service? Why do you do what you do? What makes you stand out among the competitors? There are so many things we can talk about that if you're willing to share that information with a listener, I think it would be really wonderful. Today it's all about helping other people. That's what I totally believe. I have a passion for doing that, and I would hope that we have people coming forward to be willing to be interviewed, or if you can recommend somebody, or if you have topics that you want us to cover. And again, one last word. Don't forget about the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Business Expo. It's being held on November 8th, and it's the next level sporting arena here in Flemington, and it runs from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 7 p.m. If you're an exhibitor, please show up early, get set up, and don't close down your booth until the show is over. You know, it's not over till the expression the fat lady sings. You have to be on the show floor and be prepared to talk to people from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 p.m. when it shuts down. So I hope that you'll give the chamber a call, and they may even have a booth left, so it'd be worthwhile to do that. And I'll be doing this program, a full-fledged trade show program, on Friday at Raritan Valley Community College, and you can sign in and actually see this program online. You don't have to leave your office. So thank you very much for coming here today. I hope you've gained some information that you can use, and I'll see you again next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Speaker of the House Paul Ryan said he does not believe President Trump could sign an executive order that would deny the right to babies born in the United States citizenship if their parents are not here legally. Although Texas Attorney General Republican Ken Paxton said,
"Our immigration policy is a mess. Congress has failed to address it. I hope this is something that I think most Americans find unacceptable, that you create an incentive for somebody to cross the border, have a baby, and suddenly they're a citizen. It doesn't make any sense, and I'm glad the president's taking a look at this and considering this option."
President Trump and the First Lady are in Pittsburgh to express the support of the American people 3 days after a synagogue shooting. Republican Congressman Steve Scalise joined Fox News to talk about the president heading to Pittsburgh.
"I'm glad that the president is going down. It's an important display that he goes down there to show that we're all Americans in these kind of tragedies, and we're going to stand with each other."
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills,
exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM.
U.S. troops are about to be deployed to the border with Mexico. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
Around 5,000 active duty troops being given orders to deploy to the U.S.-Mexico border within the next few days. The troops will be preparing for the arrivals of Central American migrant caravans, one large one currently in southern Mexico, but still heading north towards the U.S. border. The troops' mission is to help Border Patrol agents secure the border as the caravan moves closer.
We have the authority given to us by Secretary Mattis. The units that are normally assigned weapons, they are in fact deploying with weapons.
That's U.S. General Terrence O'Shaughnessy of